Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. This is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Mouse. This is the radio show where we affirm the power of dreaming, working with coincidence, and playing with imagination. Do go to my website, mousedreams.com. You'll see I'm about to launch a new online course for the Shift Network in Shamanic Lucid Dreaming, the soul healing, soul remembering, and exploring the many roads of the many worlds. We have an interesting guest today. Her name is Kelly Leidick. Her passion is for dream incubation. We're going to hear about why that might be important and helpful in your life. She's a lifelong dream enthusiast and dream explorer. She's a creative coach and consultant. She has her own business called Walking the Dream, and we'll learn how to find out more about her. And she has a book. She has a book on dream incubation, which has been an e-book and is about to come out in print. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here and talking with you.
All right. Now, tell us why we want to know about dream incubation. Many of the people listening to us practice it and have their own method. But tell us with some personal stories why dream incubation is important for you and what you think it offers to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think with dream incubation, what I've experienced personally and what I've also observed and my coaching sessions with my clients is that dream incubation can really be used for whatever direction and whatever purpose you'd like to use it for, which is the benefit for it, right? If you're someone who is looking to go in a new career direction, you could use it for that. If you're looking to uncover different layers of more personal growth that you'd like to experience, you could use it for that. If you're looking just to connect with a topic that you always love to speak about, something in the synchronistic world and our connection there, you can definitely use it for that. I've even used it myself for health-related information about my physiology and my health status. I've had other clients use that for their health as well. So I think that the universality of the incubation process is what makes it so appealing. And I've also found that in my coaching sessions with folks, it really is a quick way to get at the subconscious mind. You know, if most of what our mind is doing and how it's functioning is subconscious, you know, we want to know what's sort of running behind the scenes. I always use the analogy of the brain is like a computer, right? And your conscious mind is sort of like your Windows platform or your Macintosh OS, where you see the front screen and you can see all your icons, but really all of the big stuff that's going on is the computer coding language behind the scenes, and it's kind of that way with your subconscious mind, too.
All right, let's slow you down. Let's slow you down, Kelly. I said that many of our people are familiar with dream incubation, but for a moment, talk to people who may not be. Tell us what dream incubation is, and then give us a story. I mean, the best way into these things is to have a story of how this works, maybe one from your own life or from your client. So first of all, slow down and tell us what is dream incubation.
Sure. So the way that I use dream incubation is a intentional way of using language and using a questioning method to tap into your subconscious mind, right? And this is something I think that has been used before. You know, Dr. Gerald Delaney was one of the first people who studied that in a clinical setting, as well as, you know, all of the cultural history that we have behind it. But in the more modern approach that I use, it's really about very carefully tailoring the language in the form of a question, typically. Sometimes it can be a statement, but usually a question that inquires to the mind on a particular answer. And then the idea is that you use the question before you go to sleep at night, before you retire. And then at night you have your dream, and you enter that dream state and that dream world. And in the morning, you'll have a proposed answer to your question, whatever your question may be. So I remember, to cite a personal story that I experienced, after my son was born, I have one son, he's five now, but when when he was born, I had gone through a fairly traumatic birth. You know, I had an emergency C-section, I had several complications. And in the aftermath of the recovery, it was a very slow, difficult recovery for me. And at one point, I went into dream incubation. I thought, okay, you know, what is it that my body really needs? So what is it that I can do, whether it's something nutritional maybe? I thought of all different possibilities, but I wanted to also leave it to my subconscious or to my higher self to respond appropriately. I didn't know if the answer would be vitamins or supplements, something along those lines, or, you know, massage, things like that. So I asked in my incubation process, what does my body need to best recover from, you know, from this birthing process? And it was so interesting because in some dreams, you know, I get a lot of vivid detail in terms of color and setting and, you know, people and events. But I remember this dream was very sort of vague and ambiguous and watery. There wasn't a lot to it. But there was this word that came to me, a single word, and it was Panchakarma, which is an Ayurvedic technique of detoxification. And it was so interesting because it made 100% sense. And it worked because I took that word and then I went through a detoxification process of ridding my body of, you know, some of the medications and things that were used during the birth and in the recovery process. And after the detox process was done, I felt a whole lot better. So it was very interesting that it was so specific and so pointed and that it actually worked when I tried it.
Well, less can be more. And like you, I found that a single phrase or a single element from a dream can be very helpful. I'm thinking way back to when I had developed a case of shingles on the face, and I was about to fly to Australia, and I didn't know what was wrong with me, so I asked for guidance on what was wrong with me, and I met in my dream an Anglo-Australian doctor who talked pretty much as I do. He seemed to belong to an earlier period. He showed me something I didn't understand, like a sort of x-ray, but a period x-ray, and he said, "You have herpes zoster," and I woke up thinking, "Oh, God, I got an STD?" No, herpes zoster is the medical name for shingles. So he diagnosed my condition and gave me the phrase. And although it didn't make me cheerful about my situation, it made me stable in the sense that I knew what was going on. So that one phrase with medical language I didn't have at the time was very helpful. Now, here's a question for you that many people who've tried some form of setting an intention for their dreams have asked me. Okay, I set an intention. Maybe it's about my health. Maybe it's about my job. Maybe it's about whatever. And then I get a dream and I can't find any connection between my dream and the intention. What do you say to those people?
I would say that I think if we look at the symbols and we contextualize the symbols, we can make connections. I think that there are connections there, whether that be color or, as you say, a phrase, as we were talking, a person, something that's symbolic. But I often find that in order to kind of decode the symbols of our dreams, we need to also somehow pair them with a context in the waking life, and that really often works well. It seems like the dream state is often a kind of a mirror, you know, whether that be a conscious mirror or whether that be sort of a shadowy mirror, right? I think sometimes what happens is it may not appear as though there's an overt connection to the dream because some of what's being presented in the dream is revealing some of what we would term the shadow or what is unconscious that's trying to make itself conscious. So I would say if at first it doesn't appear that way on the outside, then the goal would be to dig a little bit deeper and either look for connections, examine what's going on in the shadow, or maybe tailor the question slightly differently, is what I would say.
Well, I always encourage people to do some detective work, use their imagination, see if they can find a connection where none seems to exist. However, it also strikes me that in some of these dreams, our dream producers, and sometimes we feel that we have a film production company at work behind the curtains of the world, turning out dreams to educate or shock us or awaken us or entertain us. But sometimes our dream producers are giving us something that is really different because they don't think our intention is really important. They think we should look at something else. So there's that feature sometimes. I must say, Kelly, when I think over all the dreams that I've asked for, and I ask for dreams in many ways, and I talk about different ways of asking for them and different experiences as we go along, but when I think over all the years of all the times I've asked for something in a dream, the really stellar examples that come to mind are ones in which I was shocked, or surprised or got something entirely unexpected and sometimes initially unwanted. Let me give you an example. Many years ago, when I was on New York Times bestseller list for a thriller I'd written with a Russian story, I decided, well, I'm going to go off and follow my soul and become a dream teacher and all of that, but I better put some more money in the bank first. You know, typical gutless, middle-class, white man's decision. I better write another book for a big check before I go off into the woods, literally into the woods. So I sign a contract to write another thriller with a Russian theme, and it's not going well. So I do dream incubation within the terms of my ego. My ego objective, my commercial objective, my practical objective is deliver this book and get the check. So now I'm dreaming. And in my dream, I've arrived at something like a grand banquet hall. It's laid out in immense style, over-the-top style. Looks as if the silverware is actually gold. There's porcelain laid for hundreds of people. It's all in my honor. So in the dream, Robert is feeling really puffed up. Oh, look at me. Look, they're really, really, I'm the big guy. And the maitre d' comes up, and he's trembling with alarm, with anxiety, and say, what's the matter with you? And he says, Mr. Moss, there's a problem in the kitchen. What is it? He says, the master chef doesn't like your menu. He's not going to cook any more stroganoff. And if you insist on stroganoff, he's out of here. He's resigned. He's going to throw in his chef's hat. And I wake up from the dream shocked and then full of laughter because I realize what the dream is telling me. My inner creator, my master chef, is not going to collaborate with a commercial agenda anymore. I can't just write for the big check. I can't write another Russian thriller, so Kelly. I tore up the contract. I returned the advance,
yeah,
and I did something else because of that dream. So that's a pretty strong example of setting an intention and getting what you ask for, but it's not necessarily what you want or what you expect. My dream producers, and I'm sure my dream film producers were having a great time staging this one for me, they wanted to respond to my intention by showing me how limited and how unacceptable at this stage in my life and the odyssey of my soul my intention was. So if you're going to do a dream incubation, be prepared for that. Now, historical moment. You know, I started as a professor of ancient history because of my dreams. I've studied dream incubation in many ancient and indigenous societies, and you know something about this too. And we both know that when the ancients, and indeed when many indigenous people, set an intention for dreams, they think they're going to meet gods and spirits of nature and ancestors and so on. They think it's going to be not just about symbols of the unconscious, it's going to be a field of interaction with greater powers. So understanding that and thinking that way, I mean, dream incubation has been attended by and surrounded by an element of ritual in traditional practice. We think of all that the Greeks went through in order to try and have an encounter with a god Asclepius or a member of his divine family or one of his animal companions in the Asclepian temples throughout the Mediterranean world. So you actually recommend in your book some rituals. I mean, they're not too complicated. I think you have a box that you think people should put their intention scrolls in. So talk to us about how you personally set things up to incubate a dream on an important issue, let's say, and some of the tips you could give to other people about how to approach that.
Well, I think that I love that you brought up the ancient Greeks because, you know, we don't have temples now. We have to sort of create our own. And I think that part of the reason why I love using the dream incubation box, which is where I recommend you place your incubation question on a piece of paper, you recite it, you fold it up, you place it in the box as a container of intention. I feel like and what I see works well is that this container is sort of a stand-in for that temple, you know. It's a way to kind of adapt to our modern world and our modern physical approach to how we're living in this modern technological world. And so I think that the box is sort of, it creates a parallel. You know, it's not the same. It's not as intensive. It's maybe a little bit even, we could say, watered down. But I do think that the box is important for setting the intention. The box is like a container, having the lid on it, having it closed. You're bringing in with your intention, you're setting an energy, you're setting a foundation for opening to something bigger, right? Maybe not just the subconscious mind, as you say, but also to meet a dream guide or to look into another dimensional place. And part of that, I think, with the idea of setting an intention is you're really focusing your time and energy and attention on bridging that connection or opening the door to make that connection there. And I think that that's a huge, huge part of it. But I also think that, you know, the language piece, getting the language right in terms of how you frame the question is also really important, because if you want to, you know, dig a little bit deeper, and a lot of the stuff that I do is really more focused towards shadow work and less focused on, you know, the greater connections with guides and such, but specifically with the working with the subconscious mind and getting in touch there, it's really important how the language is phrased, how the question is phrased.
All right, so talk to us about how to set the right kind of intention and how not to set an intention. You've mentioned a box in which people put their written intention. I think you'll want to come back and explain that, because we don't yet necessarily understand what your box looks like. But let's leave that for a moment. Setting and writing down the intention itself. What are some examples of a good way to express the intention, and what are some examples of how not to do it?
I would first think about kind of what the goal or the outcome is trying to achieve. You know, what is it? What's the topic that you want to learn more information about? First, get settled on that, right? And have sort of a high level overview of the general camp, whether it be career or personal growth or health. First, make a decision there. Then I would contemplate, you know, what is it more specifically that I want to know in this realm, right? If it's personal growth, let's say, you could look at various aspects of your interpersonal dynamics. Do you want to improve an interpersonal dynamic? Do you want to just create and generate more awareness of yourself and how you're being in present moment awareness, right? So then we would kind of narrow it down to one of those more specific things. And then from there, I would get even more specific and say, okay, where am I seeking an answer, right? Where is my place of unknown? What is it that I'm trying to learn, really, I guess, is the question. What is it that we want to learn? And then tailor the question that way. So, for example, I was working with a client a couple of weeks ago, and on the waking life side, you know, we're talking through the different dynamics and different things that she's working on, different empowerment, places of empowerment, places of confidence. Where can we bring in present moment awareness? And, you know, the question is what we came up with was, first, to whom or what am I giving away my power? Right? So that's one. And another one that we came up with is, what does the part of me who wants fixing need to know about my inherent wholeness? So we're asking very specific, very personal, very contextualized questions that are pinpointing very specific things. I find that that works, and I find that the verb form, how you state the verb, whether it's a past tense verb or a present tense verb or a future thinking verb or future tense, also impacts what is brought forth through the symbols of the dream. It's very precise.
So you're in favor of asking questions rather than setting themes. I do both, and I think that probably by and large I tend to set themes rather than ask questions. I'll give some examples in a moment. But you like to put it in the interrogative and put a question mark at the end of it, right?
I do.
Give us some other examples. Let's have the simplest language we can have, Kelly, because less is more. Well, what are some more examples of setting an intention or setting a question your way for dreams on different subjects?
Sure. So something maybe that's a bit more broad and less focused, so we would start in a bigger sense. What is my next best career step? Right?
Good. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's simple.
Yeah, simple. Or another one could be... in what ways could I use my creativity? That's kind of broad, right? Keeping it very sort of open and loose, right? And then we would iterate from there. Another one could be, you know, similar to the one with the health. What do I need to know about tailoring my diet to my best health, something like that. Well, maybe we, the dream might say cut gluten, right, or cut out sugar or coffee, something like that. but very,
yeah,
you know,
very
broad.
Yeah, you've got to be prepared. If you ask a question of the dream source, which is hopefully wiser than your everyday mind, it better be. You've got to be prepared to be shocked and surprised and maybe even downcast or bewildered by what you get, because you are, whatever we describe the dream source as, if you're going to invest the time and attention in asking it for guidance, you are assuming that it is wiser than your everyday self, right?
I agree completely. And one of the short chapters in my dream incubation book is specifically about how to foster that inner sense of non-attachment, so that when we go into the dream, we're kind of looking at it with a blank slate rather than prescribing what we think the answer can be, right? We can ask a specific question, but then be open to anything that may come up, knowing that exactly what you say. It could be anything, because what we don't want is to have the ego come in and sort of override, you know, the guidance that would come or unintentionally, right, direct where things are going. And so when you are going then into kind of decoding the dream, I think you have to also be adept at discerning, well, is this my ego responding? Or because this is, you know, what I want in my conscious mind on some level, even if it's not the highest, the best, most appropriate answer or the unexpected answer. I usually find that those are two separate things.
Yeah, expect the unexpected is good counsel in dream work, as in everything else in life. We're talking to Kelly Leidick. She's written a short book on dream incubation, which is basically, as she approaches it, setting a question for the night and seeing if your dreams give you an answer you can work with. And we were just discussing how what you get from your dreams might be confusing to begin with, might seem to be unrelated, but it's worth persisting. Perhaps the connection can be found or decoded. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Noss. We'll be back with Kelly after the break.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. This is Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Do hop over to mossdreams.com, my website. You'll see I'm about to launch a new online adventure in shamanic lucid dreaming. We have a free mini workshop coming up on October the 23rd, in which we'll actually do an exercise which will enable you to use one of your dreams as a portal for journeying to places of soul remembering and exploring the multiverse. Speaking of websites, our guest Kelly Leidick has a website, KellyLeidick, LYDICK.com. You might want to go over there and find out more about her work and her book. Kelly, let me tell you a recent story about setting an intention for dreams that will take us back to one of the most important results from dream incubation in my professional personal life. So, you know, as somebody who's been rather homebound in this time of pandemic, that's not an exotic situation for most of us, but was used to traveling the world before. I used to travel 7 months of the year. I found that one of the great solaces, one of the great gifts of dreaming for me has been travel. I can travel without leaving home, and I'm very conscious of traveling to many places every night. So, you know, so I'll set fun intentions. I'll say I'd like to travel somewhere new. I'd like to bring back a story. Or I'll simply say I'd like to have some fun in my dreams. So that was my intention a couple of nights ago. I'd like to have some fun in my dreams. Immediately, bang. It starts in the hypnagogic state. I'm between sleep and awake. I see a character I met 24 or 5 years ago in the dream I asked for, and I'll come back to that for a moment. So I've asked for something else. I've asked for fun. I see this familiar character. He looks a bit like a racetrack tout in a little check suit with a funny hat and a big cigar in his mouth, and his name is Marty. Marty, said the New York Way. And Marty, this time, 2 nights ago, is sitting in a powder-blue Cadillac convertible in front of a lounge, somewhat sleazy lounge, I think, in downtown L.A. And he says, start here. I'm off in a sort of lucid dream, and I'm off in some crazy version of a kitschy hotel for the Tokyo Princess I stayed at in Encino's, who closed now years ago, and there are statues of laughing towers, immortals out the back. So it's a mixture of memory, imagination, and playing fun. So I'm having fun. I mean, my intention is immediately served. But who is this character? Well, here's where there's a big for me in my life, dream incubation story. I was writing the book that was published as Conscious Dreaming. It came out in 1996. It's my first book on all of this, and still in many ways the foundation book. So I'm writing the book, and I ask for guidance on my book, as I have always done. I say, how can I reach a lot of people and bring them the gifts of dreaming? And I dream I'm in something like a 3-ring circus, and I'm under the big top, and there is this character in this loud suit with this big cigar. And he's doing ridiculous acrobatics. He can bounce up to the top of the big top, and I remember my intention, so I'm at least half lucid. I mean, I asked the guy, is this my guide? This said, I know his name is Marty. Marty, said the New York Way. He bounces into the bleachers. He grabs an attractive blonde. He starts smooching at her. I'm looking at him aghast. And he blows a puff of smoke, and he leers, and he smooches the blonde again, and he winks at me from around the blonde's hair and says, it's about entertainment, kid. It's about entertainment. And I woke up laughing, and I thought, my goodness, this is not an expected form of the guide, but this is exactly the guide I need right now because it is about entertainment. You've got to keep people turning the pages. Hey, I'm the best-selling thriller writer. I used to know how to get people turning the pages. Maybe I can do that in a new context. So that was dream incubation. I set an intention. I said, it was actually a question. It's your kind of intention. How can I reach a lot of people and bring them the gift of dreaming? And that's what I got naughty. And it's about entertainment. So I know this stuff works. I was shocked, but it mobilized my sense of humor, which is always a good thing to have operating for you. So just flowing from there for a moment, I'm going to draw breath and let you come back at me with whatever aspects of this and whatever attitudes to this you have. I often set intentions, but I don't set big intentions. I don't set solemn intentions. I don't set life-altering intentions consciously very often. I mean, I sort of reserve big intentions like that. But I'll set small intentions, like I'd like to have some fun tonight, or like I'd like to travel, you know, and not have to collect my bags or go through a COVID check, or, you know, I'd like to go to Paris and have dinner in that restaurant, or I'd like to go somewhere I've been before in my dreams, which is a dream locale. So my intentions are often about traveling and getting out and about and having fun. And I tell you, Kelly, I have a lot of fun. in my dream.
Yes.
But sometimes the cost is I come back feeling jet lag. I mean, I come back with travel fatigue. So this is the way that I approach, you know, dream incubation all the time.
And I love what you're saying. Actually, what I was picturing in my mind as you were describing it, I was sort of picturing a kind of Groucho Marx sort of character. I don't know if that's what he really looked like.
But,
you know,
he's got a mustache and the cigar. It's a slight Groucho Marx quality. Yep, slight. Yep.
Yeah.
Big family.
Yeah, and I'm always, I actually am always amazed. I've you know, been to your seminars and the listened to your other radio shows. I'm always impressed with the way that you remember and recall so much detail over so much time of the specificity of your dreams. I'm always impressed by that. So it's not surprising that you're recalling that. And prolific in your own travels as well. So that makes sense. But, you know, I agree. I think that if you want to incubate to travel to certain locations, you absolutely can do that. I find that I am sometimes returning to very specific places, and although they may not have easily identifiable kinds of characteristics, or I don't inherently know in the dream where I am, I know that these places exist, and I do return to them, too. I think that that's a really, really fascinating phenomenon.
One of the core techniques that I've been teaching, sort of practicing for a very long time now, is what I call dream reentry, and it's based on the idea which you just talked about, that if you've been somewhere in a dream, you might be able to go there again, just as if you've been to that library or that ice cream store, you could find your way and go again. So it is with dreaming, you can go again. You might find that the locale is not stable, but sometimes it is. There are stable locales in the dream space. When I heard Stephen LeBeau say that at a conference nearly 30 years ago, people were gasping. I just put up my hand and I said, yes, just as mystery and indigenous traditions have always taught, there's a special place, and you can send your apprentices there to do certain things, and you can go there and you can meet. Anyway, the idea that there are stable locales in the dream space, to use LeBeau's tonight modern language, is an ancient understanding founded on the idea that dreaming may be traveling. We go places, we do things, we go to worlds beyond the physical, and it's all real. Of course, this goes beyond the current Western psychological approach, which is also fine. I mean, we can take 100 different approaches to dreams, and the real, as Mr. Jung says, is what works, isn't it? So it's what works, it's what delivers. And we both know that incubation delivers. I like to approach it in a lighthearted way, but I also recognize people have achingly serious problems involving health, involving soul, involving safety, involving survival, for which they do need to seek guidance from a deeper source, and that might need to be approached in a sufficiently serious way, and maybe some elements of ritual will help them to do that.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree, and I think that going back to the idea of non-attachment, I mean, that's so important. It's so important to just be open to what the answer is, not knowing. You know, you kind of enter a sort of free fall, if you will, if I can use that analogy. You just step out into the dreamscape, and what comes in is what comes in. And we're not always consciously creating that, although we can, you know, as you mentioned, Stephen LeBeau, we can have lucid dreams. We're not always in that lucid state. Sometimes we're, you know, in a very, I would call it even a very vulnerable state that we're sort of laying open to whatever is there. It's brave. It's brave to do it. You know, I've known people who are not wanting to enter that because they're afraid of what answers they might find. You know, it does take a degree of bravery to enter.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I myself have to be feeling brave when I set the intention. Show me what I need to see. I mean, this is sometimes my intention. Every time I set it, Kelly, I take a breath and hope for the best. All right, we're talking with Kelly Lydick about dream incubation. She has an e-book on that, short e-book on this subject, which will soon be in print. This is The Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We'll be back for more after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Gingivitis, gum disease, words you don't want in your mouth. But according to the American Dental Association, 3 out of every 4 adults will develop gum disease. Now there's an all-natural way to fight back. Introducing the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies. Developed by a dentist and clinically tested by a leading university, the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies Daily Oral Rinse and Toothpaste was proven to kill the germs that cause gum disease better than the leading brands. Regular use was proven to reduce gingivitis and bleeding gums. The Natural Dentist contains herbs like echinacea and aloe vera and has no alcohol or sugar or harsh chemicals. The Natural Dentist is guaranteed to work or your money back. You can find the Natural Dentist at most drug and health stores, including Trader Joe's, Save-On, Walgreens, and Long's Drug Stores, as well as most health stores, including Whole Foods Markets and Wild Oats. Call 800-615-6895 or visit www.thenaturaldentist.com for more info.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Right, you're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Our guest is Kelly Lydeck. Our very interesting subject is dream incubation. And as I think Kelly knows, I mean, when the ancients went to the dream temples, the temples of dream healing, like the Asclepion, the temple of Asclepius and his divine family, they were looking for more than a dream. They were looking for an encounter. They were looking for what might be healing during the night in the presence of the sacred guide and healer. And they prepared for that in all sorts of ways, through purification, by asking for dreams of interpretation, and in other ways. I've had a number of personal experiences of this, you know, in the temple of modern life, in the temple of the bedroom. I mean, for example, I was deathly sick in Barcelona at one time. And I mentioned Barcelona because Spain and Catalonia are countries of the bull. And I was terribly sick, and I was throwing up in the middle of the night, and I felt awful, like the worst kind of flu you could imagine, or you'd think there's something else these days. And I'm thinking, I'm going to have to get to the doctor in the morning. I can't stand it. And I lay back in bed, and I asked for help. I asked for healing. And a whole scene unfolded. It immediately started unfolding. Unfolding in my mind, in my imagination, was completely real to me. It centered on an animal-human hybrid figure, a bull-headed man, but not like a horrible minotaur, like a righteous warrior, bull-headed warrior. It centered on an invading force, which I understood were the germs and the agents of my illness, being trapped in the entrance of a castle. Now, this kind of entrance is called a barbican. It's like a cage that closes with a drawbridge, and it becomes a cage, and you can shoot your attempted invaders from above, from the sides, etc., while they're stuck in a cage. So the invaders have been allowed into my body to some extent, but they're being held in what is in effect a cage, not allowed to get inside the keep. And a battle is underway, and the bull-headed warrior leads the battle, and the invaders are laid low, and there is cleansing and healing. This is played out in fantastic detail, sensory detail. I mean, I can still see the beautiful medieval-style ladies completing the cleansing and purification of the area with their beautiful hems of their beautiful long gowns. I can still smell the fragrance that washed over the remains of the illness. In the morning, I was absolutely fine. It was gone. An imaginal event had taken place. So if anyone says to me it's all your imagination, I say, yes, I hope so, because the imagination can change the state of the body and your experience of the world. But that was also an example of dream incubation, or perhaps we should say imaginal incubation. I asked for healing. I didn't just get a dream that I could decode and apply and maybe go to the pharmacy or the health food shop and get something. I got the healing in the way that the ancients hoped for. So let's remember, when we talk about dream incubation, that it's about more than sleep dreams. The typical experience in the Asclepian was not a sleep dream, it was a hypnagogic state between sleep and awake, where people were quite aware of that their body is there on the sheepskin or the animal skin, and that the god or someone else is there, and that it's also a hope for something to be fixed, cured, healed, dealt with inside the experience itself. So as we talk about all this with modern minds in our modern contemporary situations, let's not forget that some of the depth of it, as in my personal example, one of many, might still be available as well. How about that?
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And again, you know, I think with the way that I'm using incubation often and using it with clients, again, a lot of it's to come with a certain purpose of revealing more of the shadow work rather than to have an encounter. But I agree with you 100%. The incubation process can be used for that purpose if we have the intention. I almost feel like it requires even a little bit greater degree of non-attachment, if you will, than having something that is more scripted, because you're opening for an encounter. You know, it then becomes a gateway or a doorway to that encounter. It's beautiful. And for me, some of my, what I would call my big dreams, happen during that state, that hypnagogic state, where, you know, you're sort of in that ether and you can feel it, but you have a little bit of that conscious awareness, and it's a really beautiful sort of state of being or state of existence to be in that moment, you know. I found the most profound messages have come when I've had encounters with my own guides, is always during that state.
Yes. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. I'm astonished by how little of the literature on sleep and dreams spends any time on hypnagogia. There is a classic book by Andreas Mavromatis, the Greek Cypriot writer, on hypnagogia, which blends some experiential stuff with some scholarship. I've written quite a bit about it in my books, and of course my journals are full of it, and my teaching is full of it, because this in-between state, this twilight state between sleep and awake, is the easiest way to embark on a lucid dream adventure. It's the easiest place for us to meet inner teachers and guides, as you began to talk about. It's a place of creative solution, and it's a place in which our brain waves and our general state is similar to that of chickens hatching eggs, actually. It is an incubatory state. And so we need to teach people to do more in this state too, instead of just being in a hurry to knock themselves out or to get up in the morning. You know?
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. I think that state is well primed for a creative space. You know, some people can read. I know you've talked about this before in your other conversations and lectures and such, that you're a person who's able to read in their dreams, and I have that ability too. I haven't worked with that a lot in a very focused way. I'm sure that if one were to incubate on it and focus on honing that skill, they could improve on it. It sometimes just seems to appear spontaneously, but when I think about the times where I've had dreams where I've been reading, I open a book and I'm reading word for word what's appearing on that page, it always comes at that hypnagogic state as well. There is a greater degree of available creativity, it seems, and creative energy in that in-between. It's fascinating.
Right. Yeah, I'm astonished that many of the sleep and dream experts that we both know or have at least read constantly report, after interviewing maybe 25 college students, that people cannot read in their dreams. I mean, it's absolute nonsense, at least for me, and of course, I've worked with thousands of dreamers. I've graduated more than 300 teachers of active dreaming. Most of us read in our dreams. Last night I transcribed 5+1. I'm saying 5+1, but five plus one lines that someone in a desperate state had written on the sidewalk. I don't remember them now, Kelly. I lost them, but that is not typical. Normally, I can bring back a phrase, a line or two. The other night, it was a word I'd forgotten. It's a place in Ireland. It has an important place in Irish legend, the legend of Cuchulainn at the North Emney. I brought back the word, which I'd been both speaking and looking at in my dream. It took me a while to remember what it was, because I'd forgotten more than I know. But, you know, if you can continue it into the hypnagogic state or the hypnopompic state, to use the $5 word as you surface your sleep, then you might be able to hold more of it and write more of it down. I often wish, as a book author, I could really just bring back a chapter or two and just instantly download it and get out of bed in the morning. I'm not able to do that, unfortunately.
You've got
some starter though. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Noss. We'll be back.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Gingivitis, gum disease, words you don't want in your mouth. But according to the American Dental Association, 3 out of every 4 adults will develop gum disease. Now there's an all-natural way to fight back. Introducing the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies. Developed by a dentist and clinically tested by a leading university, the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies daily oral rinse and toothpaste was proven to kill the germs that cause gum disease better than the leading brands. Regular use was proven to reduce gingivitis and bleeding gums. The Natural Dentist contains herbs like echinacea and aloe vera and has no alcohol or sugar or harsh chemicals. The Natural Dentist is guaranteed to work or your money back. You can find the Natural Dentist at most drug and health stores, including Trader Joe's, Save-On, Walgreens, and Long's Drug Stores, as well as most health stores, including Whole Foods Markets and Wild Oats. Call 800-615-6895 or visit www.thenaturaldentist.com for more info.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Back. This is Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We have Kelly Leidick. We've been talking about dream incubation. We've also been talking briefly about recurring scenes, recurring locations in dreams. Kelly, you want to say something more about that?
Oh, yeah. I've been having this recurring dream where I'm returning to this setting, and it's always at night. It's always kind of like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, where I arrive at the seashore. But I inherently know, although no one has said it to me or described it this way, but I inherently know that I'm in somewhere on the southern kind of tip of Italy. And I take this sort of cobblestone, old world, old style street that curves around. There's a kind of an upcurve ramp, and it goes across a small little bridge and then down to this very sort of, I want to call it maybe like 1920s-esque sort of hotel where I arrive, and it has yellow awning on the outside of the windows, and it kind of has these low ceilings, but the awnings and the color yellow is predominant there, and there are people inside, and they're having you know, drinks and chatting and always eating seafood. There's always shrimp and crab and lobster, and I continue to return to this place. It's the same place every time. It's very interesting. It's sort of reminiscent to a place that I know that I've been to in southern Italy, but it's not exactly the same, and it's right. Fascinating to me. I find when I wake up, you know, I'm longing to go back there. It's
longing to go, so you feel longing to go back there. Do you like seafood?
Oh, I love seafood. Oh, yeah.
You love seafood.
It's so good.
Is it possible in the future you'll be in a place like this?
Oh, I would love to. I feel like you cannot get any better seafood than you get out of the Mediterranean Sea.
These are my dreams. I mean, I'd be delighted to have this place to go to in my dreams, and I would make sure, Kelly, that when I go back there, maybe in the hypnagogic space, I taste and eat more of the things that I like, and if I like wine or Negronis, I'll have some Italian drinks as well, some Prosecco at least, maybe. And I'd hold open the thought that I might find myself at this place in the future, but whether or not that happens, I have a place in an alternate reality that is just delightful. And, you know, I can go there any time that I like, and people would just be very envious if they knew that I can return to the place of the yellow awnings with the food that I love. What a gift to have such a place available as a destination for travel any time you like, yes?
It is so, I mean, it's so amazing. I do. I wake up feeling like, oh, I can't wait to go back there again. And it does feel, as you're saying, that is
And for me, the whole conversation came alive when you started describing the yellow awnings and the seafood and the rest of it. I mean, I like stories. I can't listen to too much abstract, arid, conceptual stuff along with other story. But the stories bring people alive. It's how we travel in the mind. And when you brought out that story, so I'd actually recommend to you as a coach, one who inspires and teaches us, please don't hold back on the sensory, vivid, visual detail of your stories, because it brings everything alive, and now people are with you, you know. You can sneak in the non-attachment all of that somewhere along the way, but please don't leave out the yellow awnings and the food that you enjoy.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's good advice. That's very good advice.
Absolutely essential, which of course raises up another thing about dreaming. I mean, I listen to people about dreams, etc. I'm always interested when their senses come alive. I mean, obviously, our visual sense and usually our audio sense are strong in our dreams, but I'm always interested in dreams in which the sense of smell or the sense of taste and the kinesthetics and so on come vividly alive as well. And the ancients considered those dreams particularly important. Sometimes they talked openly about the fact that clearly if your dream is like that, you are traveling in a subtle body that knows pleasure and pain and joy. There's a Western teaching about these things, not just an Eastern teachings. We found Western teaching in the Neoplatonist philosophers and elsewhere, which tended to get blurred, but it's there. So I pay particular attention, you know, when I'm tasting something, I'm coming out of the dream and I can still taste the coffee in that unlikely museum setting, or when I can still taste the red wine or still taste the salad, I mean, the extra virgin olive oil on my mouth, and when I can still smell something. And although you didn't mention that your senses were alive, you spoke about the seafood with such avid delight that I sort of think your senses might have come alive, yes?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it was delighting, the way that the lighting, and everything was dark except for the hotel and the lights of the that were reflecting on the yellow awnings and the smell of the salty air, you know, and all of the taste of all of the food. And the limoncello.
Yes, the salty air.
Lemon.
The salty air as well. This is great. So, you know, for people listening to us, I'm going to circle back to where I really began the conversation. I'm talking about the fact that many of us are more aware now in pandemic conditions. So one of the great gifts of dreaming is we can travel. We can travel without leaving home. We can travel without COVID restrictions. We can be as social as we like. We don't have to pay for airline tickets, wait for bags, or go through COVID checks. And when you hear a recurring dream like Kelly's, recurring in the good sense, that you want to go there again and again, like you've got a favorite restaurant and you can't get enough and you go there every night, if you can. You see what a benefit dreaming can be. We can do these things, and we also return, as we talk this way and think this way, to the ancient understanding, which Western psychology still has difficulty with. that dreaming may be traveling. We make visits and receive visitations. Of course, at a very old age, very, very Paleolithic dreamer myself, this is my basic understanding. I put up with Western psychology because I'm living in a modern Western society, and it can do us some degree of good. But my basic reflex, Kelly, as you probably know, is that if I have an interesting dream, I probably got out there, I went somewhere, I was with those people in that place, including maybe the Italian restaurant with the yellow awnings.
Yeah. Yes. And I, you know, I think it's both. I think that what you're saying is extremely and extraordinarily important. As you say, you know, for you and your personal path, you followed the call of the soul. If only we could all follow the call of the soul, you know. That would be the ideal thing. That would be the best thing. That is the best thing for people. That's the healthiest thing, I believe, in totality.
Absolutely.
So it's extremely important.
Our dreaming will help us get there. Our dreaming will help us remember the soul's purpose. Our dreaming will show us what's happened to the different bits and pieces of our soul, where we've lost one or suppressed something to reflect your shadow work and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And dreaming will help to restore our inner compass, which means putting ourselves in alignment with the direction that our soul longs to take in life. I mean, this is fundamentally what it's all about: soul recovery, soul remembering, soul healing. And dreaming is the most powerful tool that I know that we have available to help with all of that.
I agree with that. It is hands down the most powerful tool.
All right, we've been having fun talking to Kelly Leidick. Kelly, your website is?
It is www.kellyleidick.com.
Okay, LYDICK.com. We'll put up a proper description of this program at my website, mossdreams.com. You want to go over there to see all the things that I am doing, including the new Shamanic Lucid Dreaming course, the Shift Network, and including the next online version of my training for teachers of active dreaming. More than 300 people from 24 countries have graduated so far as teachers of active dreaming. If you're feeling the call, fill in the application. I want to hear from you. All right, we'll be back after the break, basically to say dream on.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer of webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
This is Robert Knopf. We've been talking to Kelly Leidick about dream incubation. Give it a go. If you've got a question to which you'd like a response, you need some guidance or counsel on some aspect of life or life passages, consider putting an intention to your dreams. Thank you for telling us how important this is in your life and your coaching practice, Kelly.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today. It was wonderful to talk to you and catch up with you and dig in to this beautiful, vast world that we have access to. What a gift.
Yes. Dig in and dream on. So, everybody, from now until next time and forever, may your best dreams come true and may you remember them.